And good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in 2005, there was an Associated Press story that reported an event that happened in Istanbul, Turkey. First, there was one sheep that jumped. Then there was another sheep, and then another. Then when all was said and done, there were 1,500 sheep that had followed the first sheep off the side of a cliff. The stunned shepherds returned from grabbing a quick bite for breakfast that morning and saw what had happened. "There was nothing we could do," reported one of the villagers, a member of one of the 26 families who owned the sheep and had lost most of their family's wealth in the tragedy. And when we hear a story like that about sheep, we think, wow, those are some foolish sheep. But today we're going to focus on the role of the shepherd, as we just read from John chapter 10, the good shepherd chapter of the Bible. We hear Jesus proclaim that he is the good shepherd. Now, to give you a little bit of context for this verse, in John chapter 9, the previous chapter, Jesus healed a man who was blind. The man was blind from birth. And the townspeople are so excited that Jesus had healed this man that they take him to their religious leaders, the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were a group of laymen who were really strong, convicted religious guys that believed it was their job as the righteous men of Israel to make sure that everybody else was following all the rules and the laws as best they could so that God would bless Israel. So you see, the Pharisees thought they knew exactly how God was going to work. And if they all did the best they could, then God would bless them and then he would send a Savior. So when the townspeople bring this healed man to the Pharisees find out that Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath day. And to the Pharisees, this was breaking the law, and they accused Jesus of being a sinner, and they said there's no way that Jesus is from God, because if he was from God, he wouldn't do this. Well, the healed man won't also proclaim that Jesus is a sinner to the Pharisees, and because of this, the Pharisees decide to kick him out of town. Well, word gets to Jesus as to how these religious leaders, these Pharisees, have treated the healed man. And Jesus goes and finds the man whom he had healed. And he says that his ministry was that those who could not see would be able to see. And those who thought they could see everything, those would be made blind. And then the man, the healed man, proclaims that Jesus is the Savior, is the Son of God, demonstrating that someone who was once blind can now see. And then Jesus turns to the Pharisees and he says, if you had been blind, you would have been without fault. But because you think you know and you can see, then you are guilty. Leading into the Good Shepherd chapter, Jesus teaches an interesting paradox. Until you realize your own blindness, you'll never be able to see. And so we have this picture of a man who's blind who Jesus helps to be able to see and see that he's the Savior. And the Pharisees, who think they know it all, are actually the ones who are condemned. Well, as if that's not enough, then Jesus goes on to teach about the difference between bad shepherds, those who would sneak in and try to harm his sheep, and then the difference between those and who he is, the good shepherd. Now, the Pharisees would have known the Old Testament scriptures. They would have known verses like Jeremiah 23, verse 1, which says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." Jesus talks about these bad shepherds who would try to destroy the sheep. And he contrasts his own ministry with these leaders of the people. And so today we turn to John chapter 10 and we see five characteristics of the good shepherd of Jesus' ministry. They'll be in your folder. You can follow along there. You can follow along on the screen. The first characteristic of the good shepherd is that the good shepherd leads his sheep. As Jesus says in John 10, verse 3, he leads them out. And you might think, well, of course, Max, I mean, that's what a shepherd does. He leads sheep. But as we've already seen in Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees, they were not doing the proper leading of the sheep. And then from our story in Istanbul, Turkey, we see that shepherds are not always around to lead their sheep. And we see what happens when they're not. And some of you today may be feeling the same way about God. You might say, I'm not sure that he's around. He might have stepped out for breakfast. Or I'm not even sure if he exists at all. I mean, really, when you look at the situation in our world today and you see wars and you see violence, you see disease and pain and hunger. In your own situations here, maybe you have economic problems and heartaches. And you say, I don't know that we have a shepherd who's around to lead us, or if he's around at all. But Scripture is very clear. Scripture shows us that the issues and the problems that we're facing in our world today are not the result of a bad or absent shepherd, but they're the result of our rebellion against the good shepherd. Our own sin has caused what we see happening around us now, which is all the more reason why we need a shepherd to guide and lead us. Jesus said of his own ministry in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Here we have a picture of someone who has come as a shepherd. Now, I got to tell you about shepherds. A little bit later, for the children's message, Eric's going to come up and demonstrate how a shepherd uses his staff, and he's going to play the role as a shepherd. Well, if you heard in Jesus' time that there was going to be a shepherd at the church assembly, and he wanted all the kids to come up, you probably wouldn't send your kids up to see the shepherd. Shepherds were not exactly held up as examples. They weren't the cute, cuddly kind of guys that we think of today that take care of the cute, cuddly sheep. I mean, shepherds were the guys that were out in the fields. They were men of the land. They were probably crude. They didn't spend a whole lot of time in social circles, so their etiquette probably wasn't very good. They probably smelled because they didn't have a lot of opportunities to bathe. They were unclean men dealing with really dirty, unclean animals. So the fact that Jesus calls himself a shepherd shows a little bit of his nature, of coming to earth, humbling himself, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but right now, I want you to focus on the idea that he came to lead. He came to lead us out of the situation that we find ourselves in. So the first characteristic of the good shepherd is that he leads. The second characteristic is that the sheep hear his voice. Jesus says in a couple of times in John 10, first in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and later in 4, for they know his voice. Now again, this might seem obvious. Of course, the shepherd is going to speak and the sheep are going to hear his voice. But the idea here is that the sheep have come to know his voice so well because the shepherd is constantly speaking, is constantly reassuring, is letting them know he is close by and present. And that if there are other voices that come, the sheep stay away from voices that they don't recognize. Now, what Jesus is teaching us here is that as our shepherd, he's going to speak to us. He is going to communicate to us, and we're going to be able to know his voice. And how do we do that? How does he communicate with us? Well, Jesus takes the opportunity in Luke chapter 8. As he's gathered with a group of people, and he's speaking, he's talking to them, he's teaching, and some others come and say, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they want to talk to you. You need to go and see them. And Jesus teaches what it is to be a part of his family when he says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You see, to be in God's family means that you're going to listen to his voice. It means that you gather together. That's what we're doing this morning as we come as his people, as his sheep. We come to hear his voice. That's a characteristic of sheep. They listen to the shepherd. And it's also a characteristic of the shepherd that he is going to speak to the people. And that's what we do as we hear God's word. And how do we know? How do we get to know and learn the voice of the shepherd? Well, we go to where we know that he's going to speak to us. and that's in his word. And maybe you've heard it before, but federal agents, as they're being trained to spot counterfeit money, the way that they train federal agents to know the real thing versus something that's false, a counterfeit, is they spend all their time with real money. They have all different denominations of real American currency, and they get to know it, what it feels like, what it looks like, what it smells like, and they get to know it so well that when a counterfeit comes across their hands, they're able to identify it right away. Friends, you and I need to know God's word so well so that when those outside voices come in, we're able to say, that's not our shepherd. We know the voice of our shepherd. And he assures us that he's there for us in his word. So sheep hear his voice. The third characteristic of the shepherd then is that the shepherd knows his sheep by name. The shepherd knows his sheep. In Isaiah 43, Jesus kind of makes a reference here to Isaiah 43:1 when he says, I have called you by name. And he says it in John 10:3, he calls his own sheep by name. We have here an intimate picture of a shepherd standing at the gate, and all of his sheep are filing past, the shepherd is able to look down and name the sheep and say, I know this is Bob the sheep, and this is Sarah, and this is Susan, and he's able to say this exactly which one. Jesus even tells a parable of a shepherd that has 100 sheep, and when one of them goes off, he's able to tell. You know, if I was looking at 100 sheep, I wouldn't know that from 99 sheep, you know. But a shepherd knows all of his sheep by name. Tommy Walker tells a story of going on a mission trip. Tommy Walker is a Christian artist. We use some of his songs here in the worship center. He went to the Philippines on a mission trip, and while he was there, he spent time in a really depressed slum region where there were a number of orphan kids that lived on the streets, no parents. And one of those kids came up to Tommy at the beginning of their visit, and he said, my name's Jerry. We're friends, right? Tommy said, yeah, we're friends. Jerry, we're friends. So a few minutes later, Jerry comes back to him and says, what's my name? Tommy says, Jerry. And Jerry says, yeah, we're friends, right? He said, yeah, we're friends. Hour later, comes back. What's my name? Tommy says, it's Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. Jerry says, we're friends, right? Yeah. Next day, comes back. What's my name? Tommy says, Jerry, and we're friends, right? He said, yeah, we're friends, right? What Tommy realizes, Jerry just wanted somebody that knew his name. Even though Jerry didn't even know his own last name. He wanted somebody that knew who he was by name. And Tommy was able to share with Jerry that as great as it was that Tommy knew his name, there was a God who loved Jerry so much that he knew his name as well. And that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for any sin, any debt owed. Jerry's name was known by the Savior. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of shepherd we have, a shepherd that knows our name. Fourth characteristic of a shepherd then is that the shepherd gives life abundantly. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. A good shepherd knows what's best for the sheep. It's hard not to think about the 23rd Psalm when we talk about the good shepherd. It's the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. And he has all of these great things in store for us. It's a beautiful passage of scripture that shows us what our good shepherd, how he takes care of us, and how he has what's best in store for us. Philip Keller, in his book, Shepherd's Guide to the 23rd Psalm, talks about sheep that are well cared for by the shepherd. And when a sheep has a good shepherd, that shepherd makes sure that the sheep is clean, that their face doesn't have any kind of clean so that they don't get infections, so that they don't have flies and different things. And he talks about sheep that aren't well cared for. Over time, they start to develop bacteria and things that cause the sheep to be really uncomfortable. And you can tell when a sheep is not well cared for by their shepherd. And the reverse is also true. When a good shepherd takes care of the sheep are able to enjoy their existence and have a much higher quality of life. Well, that's what our Savior has in store for us. Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Our shepherd has promised that he has a kingdom for us. And we receive that abundance when we, by faith, believe in him. And we receive that in part now. Someday, he promises to fully restore what was lost. The abundance of the Garden of Eden will again be restored when he recreates a new heaven and a new earth. And he promises that for us. In John 10:28, "I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand." And the fifth characteristic of the Good Shepherd is the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus said it in 10:15, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And as we talked about earlier, just by the fact that Jesus calls himself a shepherd shows us his nature of humbling himself, of taking on a lower status because of his deep love for the sheep. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2:8. It said, "He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus Christ humbled himself. He came and took on human flesh, God giving up heaven to come down and pay the price for us, the price for our rebellion as sheep against the shepherd, the price that we owe death, he took in our place. What an amazing shepherd it is to take the punishment for his sheep. In Isaiah 53, it puts it like this, "For all like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Through what Jesus did by taking our punishment, he has now made us right with God so that we can enjoy that abundant life. But that's not the end of the story. The shepherd giving his life, it's not the end of the story for the shepherd or for the sheep. What good would it be if the shepherd died for the sheep? The sheep would still be without someone to take care of them and guard them. But Jesus says in John 10:17, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Jesus rose again on Easter Sunday with a glorified body, with resurrection power, a resurrection life. That's the life that he has promised for us through faith in him. We see our good shepherd. Our good shepherd is someone who leads us. He's someone who speaks to us and we hear his voice. He's someone who knows us by name. He gives us abundant life and he lays down his life for you and for me. Did you notice something in this teaching about shepherd and sheep? Oftentimes we want to criticize the sheep for being foolish, but Jesus never condemns the sheep in this passage. You see, it's a characteristic of Jesus' teaching to elevate the humble, to exalt the ones of lowly status. We don't like being called sheep. We would rather grow up out of being sheep. Jesus one time actually brought a child among the group that he was teaching. And he used this child as an example. And I need you to know that children were not used ever in the Old Testament. And maybe in all of ancient literature, children were not held up to be positive role models or examples. Because children were thought of as being foolish. They were easily tricked. They were untrustworthy. They lied. They didn't have much value in society. And so that's why it was really a shock when Jesus held up a child and said, "Unless you become like this, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, Jesus is showing us something here about who we are. We don't like being called foolish or easily tricked or lost. We want to grow up out of being sheep. That's a nice thing for the kids. They can be little sheep and lambs, but we want to grow up out of that. Jesus actually says this is a condition you need to recognize more and more. Like he told the Pharisees, until you realize your own blindness, you can never see. But it's okay to be sheep. Actually, it's exactly who we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be his sheep. and with a shepherd like this, why would you want to be anything else than a sheep within the fold of the Good Shepherd? As we sing every Tuesday night in Friendship Bible Study, I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. Amen.